Hey guys, hey, this is Stuart,
this is Zach,
and this is another Me, and Me.
Yep, where we talk about ourselves as an offshoot podcast of the regular main show.
Yep, and we talk about what kind of media we've consumed, what kind of games we've played, what kind of things we've done over the past week.
Yes, because we suck up media like black holes.
Yes, we do. Do you want to start us off? Or?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll start off this week. So, you remember a couple weeks ago I was talking about a Pathfinder Tales book?
Right, yes.
By Sam Sykes that was...
You said it wasn't...
It was not very good.
The best.
Yeah. But, again, to reiterate, if this is someone's first time listening, you may not want to start off with a me episode. They're a little bit more loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
But
we're kind of... Just talking.
Yeah. But just to reiterate, the Pathfinder Tales books are put out by Paizo. They're set in the Pathfinder role-playing game, like, campaign setting or world.
Yeah, because they have, like, a definite universe with characters that you can interact with if you're playing the Pathfinder Society stuff.
Yeah, and really it's another way for them to market the game, because TSR did this in the 80s and 90s with Forgotten Realms. Wizard still does it with Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, I mean, Wizard does it for a lot of things. Even Magic has its own story.
Exactly. So, like, it's really just an advertising arm.
Yeah.
Some of the stories are really bad, because they amount to a little bit more than fan fiction. But I read the one called Winter Witch by Elaine Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
It is fantastic.
Oh.
You could very easily, like, change the things that are Pathfinder specific.
Yeah.
To, like, a unique, proprietary setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it would still be an enjoyable story.
Okay. So did you need to have any, like, prior knowledge of Pathfinder?
No. Like, I was trying to figure out what classes the characters were, because that's generally what happens in these house organ type books, is that, you know, you can be like, okay, this person's the wizard and this person's the barbarian. The best I could figure is, so, like, the story is that the Winter Witch is terrorizing this barbarian village in the north. I forget the name of the village.
Yeah.
They're fantasy names and they don't matter.
Yeah. God, those fantasy names can get really complicated. Like, Uzagun. And you're like, I don't know how to pronounce that shit.
Well, yeah, so, but the main character in this is, the best I can tell, she's a shield maiden type barbarian. And she has left her village and is having to go back.
Mm-hmm.
There's another character that she hooks up with who is a wizard map maker.
Okay.
I'm thinking he's a magus, because...
Does he have a sword?
No, he doesn't. What is the class then? Because magus may not be the right one.
Scholar?
Basically, his story is that he's from the city where the magic school is all about, like, making pacts with demons and stuff. And so he left the school,
mm-hmm.
and he's just interested in cartography.
Yeah.
But he does something a couple times in it that looks like, if it were in-game, I would think it would be the character sacrificing a spell slot to cast a different spell.
I think most wizards can... Oh, Arcanus.
Arcanus, yeah, that's the one.
Arcanus,
So there's that, and she's using him to find a way back to the village and use his magic because she's a tank, and...
There you go. Good party.
It's a really good party. They,
Tank and, DPS.
Yep, exactly. They, the book, like I said, it stands on its own. Good story. It's predictable, but it's pulpy. I said before that the thing that I do like about how Paizo does it is that they're like, it's a subscription. So they have these books plotted out like years in advance and they just release them once a month.
There you go.
And
with
just different
authors. Yeah.
Yeah. Elaine Cunningham, fantastic author.
Are you going to look at any of her other work that she's done and maybe explore some of those
if
stories?
If I can find it, it looks like she's one of those authors kind of like Claudia Gray and Christy Golden and Timothy Zahn. Like, she's one of those authors, it seems like, that she has her own proprietary worlds that she has built.
Yeah.
But the majority of her work comes from writing in other people's worlds.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a heck of a way to make money. Like,
it is.
I wouldn't mind writing books for, like, StarCraft.
Yeah, why not?
And get a paycheck from Blizzard and go, okay, here we go.
Because, I mean, you know that they're good for it because they're a big company.
Yeah. It's Blizzard.
Yeah.
Just like Paizo, it's Paizo. Like, they have more money than anyone. I wouldn't be surprised if...
Then some random guy in, like, the backyard saying, write for my story.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Paizo were probably more financially solvent than the Dungeons & Dragons brand is.
No, I disagree, because Wizards of the Coast owns D&D. Wizards of the Coast has a lot of its fingers in a bunch of pies. Like, they do magic... They do D&D.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the D&D brand itself. Like, Pathfinder is a more financially successful brand than D&D.
I would have to disagree.
No?
Yeah. I feel like since D&D's so...
I mean, it has a lot of licensing, too. You're right.
It does. Yeah. And it's got a lot of years on Paizo.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the people, like, the handful of people I know that they only play... Pathfinder, and so they're good for, like, going every couple of months, going, I'm going to spend $60 more on this new book. I'm going to spend $60 more on this new book.
Yeah, I will say the fans of Pathfinder are a little bit more...
Diehard.
Yeah. Because a lot of, like, people who play D&D also play, like, other role-playing games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I also read, last week I talked about reading Congo. Mm-hmm. I went through and finally finished it, and read Michael Crichton's Sphere.
Okay.
From 1987.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mindfuck.
How long is the book? Is it
about, like, Congo?
Okay.
It's about 300 pages or so. It's at least in the version that I was reading. I'm sure you can find longer versions or large print versions that are different sizes. But yeah it's about 300 pages. Just a standard size book.
No one's going to fight you on the page number.
I don't know. The internet hates people being incorrect.
No. The internet's great. I love the internet. Keep it classy, internet.
Sphere was made into a movie in 98, 99.
Was it called Sphere?
Yeah.
Ah.
It had Dustin Hoffman, Sharon Stone, and Samuel Jackson in it.
I have not seen this movie. Nor have I read the book.
It's a pretty close adaptation of the book, but the movie is bad.
Oh.
It's not good. But the book is fun. I mean, part of it is because the book is kind of there's a whodunit element to it.
Okay.
And if you can't see what's going on, it makes it much more suspenseful than if you can see it going on.
Yeah. Huh.
But it's more Michael Crichton doing his thing. Rest in peace, Michael Crichton.
There you go.
Certainly knew how to write a book that could easily be made into a movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you did good with that.
I want to say 80% of what he wrote was turned into other media.
You know how, like, last time you talked about us doing just podcasts for each Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies? We could do a podcast for each
Michael Crichton book
that,
movie.
Yeah. No. Michael Crichton book that got turned into a movie and just watched the movie.
Okay, but not read the source material that it's based on?
I mean, sure, yeah. We'll read the source material, too. So you have something to compare with.
Patreon, that'll be another rank. That'll be another rank.
Yeah,
once you people start handing us money to do things, we'll
do those things.
Because if we can quit our jobs, yeah, I know that's a pipe dream. We can turn out so much content that nobody asked for.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out Michael Crichton.
Yeah,
people need to read more. If you're more in the vein of someone who likes a good, fast-paced story, Check out the Pathfinder Tales books. They're more often than not seem to be fun based on who's writing them. It's just hit or miss with what your tastes are.
Cool.
Yeah.
So on my side of stuff, the Steam sale actually came and dropped.
Yep.
And that usually takes a lot of my money, luckily.
I did not get sucked into it this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have a Mac, so...
Yeah, I mean, the Steam sales are few and far between. Or the games that interest me that are for sale.
Yeah.
For Mac or not.
For Macs, yeah. But most of the games that I'm usually interested in are on sale, so it's when I do my big buying. I got three games.
Cool.
Ended up spending about, like, $50-$60, which is not bad for three games.
Yeah, three games.
So the first one I'm going to talk about is Pyre. Pyre is a fantastic game.
Never heard of it.
So the two other games that this developer created was Bastion.
I have played that.
Yes. Bastion is sort of a Diablo style where you're looking down at a character. And you're clicking
like an isometric roguelike?
Yeah. Well, it's not roguelike because you're not dying and coming back. You keep all of your experience and equipment and stuff like that. Roguelikes, when you die, you lose your stuff and...
Am I thinking of Transistor? I may be thinking of Transistor.
Transistor's their second one.
Oh, it's the same company.
It's the same company.
Oh, okay.
So Bastion did... the company did Bastion, Transistor, and their third one is Pyre.
Okay.
One of the things that the company is known for is their fantastic visual effects, which is great. I really enjoy the visual aspect of this game.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
Cool.
The colors that they use are amazing.
Is it like neon type stuff?
Yeah.
Like Transistor?
Yeah, it's not futuristic neons, but they use a lot of
bright contrasting.
Yeah, contrasting colors. The characters that they create are always really cool, and the story that they tell, because they also use that, like, narrator with that, like, interesting voice.
Okay.
I know for, like, Bastion, they had that narrator with that raspy voice.
Right.
And the whole concept of this game is, so it's a, you're playing sports ball. You're basically... So, you have been exiled into this, basically this underneath world.
Yeah.
And, you, as the main character, are the reader. So, in this world, reading is very, uncommon. So, this band of people find you, and to commence the rites, you have to read. And then the players... You get to pick three players on the field as you're reading, and they play basically a game of ball, where they collect this orb, and then they have to dive into the other opponent's pyre, this giant fire, to take away its strength.
Okay.
Each character, depending on the character, has like an aura, and if you're not holding the ball, you have your aura out, and if you hit another opponent with your aura... They get banished for an amount of time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because all the characters have stats. Like, some characters move faster than other characters. Some characters have a bigger aura, so they're good at, like, goalkeeping. Other characters have a smaller banishing time, so they come back faster.
Yeah.
And other characters have, like, different mobility. And it's really cool. I haven't, I've put in about 3 hours of it. I first started playing with a mouse and keyboard, but then I had to switch over to my PS4 controller. It feels a lot better with a controller, because again, you're sort of dealing with, like, the sports.
So, have they designed this game to be ported to console? Or...
Yes. Okay. I think when it originally came out, it came out on... Steam, but also had a release on Xbox as well as the PS.
Okay.
So, I highly recommend it. It's a great game. If you enjoyed Bastion or Transistor, it's right up your alley. They
really have a niche.
They do have a niche.
Feel like
yeah.
The, yeah.
But it's completely different than the other two games, where it's more of combat. This is more of, like, you're playing basically like soccer. But an interesting way of playing soccer.
So kind of like Blood Bowl?
Yeah, kind of. Because you can also cast out your aura, which will shoot in a line.
Yeah.
So you can, like, snag people sometimes, and they can drop the ball. But it's kind of like hockey, too, because if you can, like, get all three of them banished, because it's a three-on-three thing, then, you know, you have advantages, because there's no one on the field. Or even if you, like, banish one of their members, you have a two-on-three.
Sure.
So it's like a power play.
Gotcha.
From hockey. So, I really enjoyed that game. I can't recommend it yet because I haven't beat it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it, like, shits the bed, like, halfway through or something like that.
That's always the worry when you, at least for me, when I start playing a game and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then, like, a third of the way into it, it's like, wow, this is really repetitive.
Yeah. And that's the thing is it would lend itself to being repetitive because all you're doing is you're playing this game, but the fields change, the characters change, so right now there is variety where I don't feel like I'm just kind of grinding.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, that was game number one, if you want to...
Cool.
Oh, okay. I mean, I can go through all three of my games if you want to, but it would be a chunk.
That's fine.
All right. I didn't know if we wanted to, like, bounce back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. So, with... The in terms of movies that we watched, got around to watching Seventh Son.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
It was a movie with Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore and some unknown no-name actor.
Yeah.
And it apparently it's based on, I think, a YA fiction set of books.
I think so, yeah.
That I had never heard of. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I also am the type of person that Dungeons & Dragons is probably in my top five movies.
Yeah, which is odd. I mean, let's say it. It's kind of odd.
So, like, it's very much a D&D type movie. Like, you could have changed the names for this movie and it would have been a D&D movie.
Yeah.
I like the world that they've built. For this, so it's probably comes from the book, so it's a little bit more fleshed out than a lot of fantasy movies are. I gotta know what Jeff Bridges was doing when he was saying his lines, because he sounds like he's drunk and having a stroke while he's talking. Like, wow. It's the weirdest thing, because he's a good actor.
He is.
But he I don't know what he was doing. Yeah, like, it's super strange, but he, you know, Julianne Moore is she's like a witch queen type character, and Jeff Bridges plays a character named the Spook,
ooh,
who is kind of like a witcher. Like, it's supposed to be an order of knights, but he's like the last one, and he's training his apprentice.
So is he like the main character in this movie? Like,
No, like, his apprentice is really the main character, but he takes up most of the screen time.
Oh, okay. So he's more of the mentor.
Yeah. He's the mentor in the movie. Okay. He's kind of a dick, which I like, because you never see, like, good guys as assholes.
Yeah.
But I would recommend it if you like movies like that are kind of a forgettable waste of time.
Yeah.
I saw this on the library shelves, which, guys, you can find so many good things in your local library. And
that's,
they can really use the statistics on who's using them and
the
what
patronage.
Patronage, yeah. But I saw this on the shelf and I was like, that looks familiar. And I started reading the back of it. And I remember vaguely this movie being advertised and then being in theaters for like a week.
Huh.
It did not do well. It made like $11 million.
That's
like,
sad.
It's cost way more than that to make it.
Now, did your wife watch it with you? Did she enjoy it?
She did. She was wandering around for some of it though, because it did not pique her interest nearly as much as it piqued mine.
But it's a recommend from...
Yeah, it's a recommend from me.
Nice.
With stipulations and criteria. But yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you like D&D stuff, or yeah. you like the D&D movie, then this might be up your alley.
This would be up your alley.
Nice.
It looks like an interesting world to run a game in. Like, well, that's cool. I don't know. Like, maybe it's because I've been deprived of playing games recently. That I like, I'll watch media and go, that seems like a cool thing to play a game in. And yeah. never do anything with it.
That's a cool setting. I know. Yeah. It's been a while, so you start like thinking, I wonder what would happen if I put this kind of spin on exactly. it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, talking about The Witcher, The Witcher was my second game that I purchased.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Are you liking it?
It is actually. Long.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it's...
I don't think I'm like even through the tutorial yet.
Yeah, like, I want to say the entire game with the DLC is like 100 hours.
Yeah, so I got the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
Which was, like, only $19 on Steam. I had never played any of the other Witcher games.
Hmm.
So this was my first, you know, Witcher game going into it. I enjoy the openness and the combat. Apparently there are quite a lot of ladies that you can,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So, it's a thing, so...
Have you played it?
From, a little bit. Right. It's one of those games that I want to play through my other games because I know Witcher is going to suck my time.
That, yeah.
Because I got it on PS4.
Okay, yeah.
The whole him banging ladies...
Yeah.
...is from the book series, as I understand it, which I still need to pick up and read.
Huh. I didn't even know that there was a book series.
Yeah, well, there's a Netflix series coming out.
Really?
Yeah, so,
I did not know that.
Okay, so...
Who are they playing?
Don't let me sidetrack
no,
this.
No, that's but, fine. This is all about sidetracks.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
True. So...
Who are they having play...
Oh, I have no idea. Okay. All I know is that I think Netflix bought the rights from the author because the author was pissed that the way he sold his rights to CD Projekt is... They just... Like, they have... the rights to The Witcher in perpetuity.
Oh.
In video game form.
Oh, wait,
because
so.
He, and for a super cheap price. Like, he sold it for, like, 10 grand because he's like, no one plays video games. Oh, because he's a crusty old bastard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure when the original Witcher came out, but
It came out early 2000s. I had Witcher 2 on Xbox 360, I think. Yeah, I think Xbox 360 is... Well, I don't think it was original Xbox. So, the 360, it was buggy as all hell.
Yeah.
And then Witcher 3 came out, and it's like, God damn, this is the most gorgeous game I've seen.
And that's the sad thing, is my computer's a little bit old.
See, I have it on a console. I don't have it on...
My computer's pretty old. I've been... Don't tell my computer, but I've been thinking about replacing it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I really have to run this game on the lowest graphics, which does take away from some of the, I guess, being immersed in the world, because some of the 3D rendering just doesn't come out correctly. Yeah. So, but I really enjoy it. It is a game that I'm probably going to, like, jump back and forth on. Like, I really just can't see me putting all my dedicated time into that game.
Yeah.
Just because it's so long. And I feel like some of these other games that I got have a beat time that's normal. That's, you know, like 20 hours or something like that. But yeah. I really enjoy what I'm playing so far. I really enjoy, like, the combat and the casting of spells and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely right up my alley. So, I was really happy to grab it at such a cheap price. And it's really cool to kind of get into the whole Witcher series, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really interesting world. I will say, in the third game, there's a character that's pissed off at you because of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And because in Poland, the books are like such a huge hit.
Yeah.
If you've read the books, it really helps your understanding of the story of the third one, which is kind of weird, but I like it because CD Projekt is they publish it themselves, so they don't have a publisher going, you got to get this done. It's like, yeah, they can put it out when it's done, and it's going to look goddamn gorgeous. But it also means that there's no big studio pushing them to do it, which is a good thing, but it also means that there's no studio oversight of, like, these lines don't make sense because it's not established earlier in the game.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to this character yet, but I've seen on the internet, there's a character that you meet that travels through portals to different worlds and stuff like that.
Yeah, Siri.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you heard this, but you talk to her, and she ends up talking to you about these giant skyscrapers, and basically describes Cyberpunk
2077.
Yeah, it basically describes that entire world that they showed off at E3 to the T. So a lot of people now are like, will she be in the Cyberpunk game? So
apparently the one of the writers or one of the designers of Cyberpunk, like, that's his least favorite question because that's what everyone asks.
Yeah,
And apparently it's two teams at CD Projekt that, like, there's the Witcher team and there's the Cyberpunk team.
Yeah, and they don't intermingle.
Yeah, and so the Witcher team can just throw all this bullshit, and now Cyberpunk team is like, guys, like, stop!
Yeah, I read that same Otaku article.
Because
the producer was like, I don't know, maybe, and the writer was like, oh god, this is the... The stop. One question I keep on hating to answer is like, no, I don't know. She's not going to be in there. But the producer's like, maybe? So, yeah. But yeah, I'm happy to jump into that game. It's a nice sort of bar setter to see what the new Cyberpunk game is going to be like. Because that Cyberpunk game has everything that I enjoy written all over it. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we watched two movies back to back. So, and it's, one's a sequel, so I'm going to talk about both of them. Mm-hmm. Lethal Weapon 1 and 2.
Never seen either of those movies.
I love Lethal Weapon 1 and 2. The third and the fourth one are kind of eh.
Yeah.
I don't think my wife had seen all of Lethal Weapon 1 in one sitting before.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching these movies as a kid and just enjoying the shit out of them. And so we're watching it, and as an adult now, rewatching the first one, the first one's got some big three-act problems. And I say this as someone, or third-act problems, mainly because... So, because the movie came out in the mid-80s, Mel Gibson's character is a former...
It's a young Mel Gibson.
It's young Mel Gibson. It's mid-80s. He is a former, I think, either Marine or CIA operative from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the mid-80s, you could have someone who's in their mid-30s who was may or may not have been...
Who knows?
And his former unit mates have turned into drug smugglers. And...
I never knew, like, the plot of this.
It twists and turns. It's not your... Like, it's cliche now, but at the time, it was new and different.
Yeah.
But The ending of the first movie makes no sense because Gary Busey's in it. This is pre motorcycle crash Gary Busey before he lost his filter.
Yeah, and isn't there like a subway scene in it or something like that? Like that's the final no subway scene where he has to shoot his partner or something. Or am I thinking of Die Hard? I'm thinking of Die Hard.
You're thinking of Die Hard. Yeah. Lethal Weapon 1, Gary Busey's character tries to kill Danny Glover's character's family.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the biggest problem with this third act is throughout the film, Danny Glover's character is someone who is reproachful of Mel Gibson's character, because Mel Gibson's character is, he's under psychiatric, like, watch with internal affairs, because he's depressive, like, his wife recently died, he has a history of using excessive force. Like, he will straight up murder people.
So they're like, gotta watch this.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're a cop, I think technically it's murder, what he does.
Yeah, it's still murder.
And so Danny Glover's character is always one of these, like, shoot-him-in-the-leg type guys.
Yeah.
Well, so the third act, the big reveal is, oh, well, or not the big reveal, but the thing that you show them, it shows them bonding and teaching each other, is that Danny Glover's character has to shoot someone to kill them.
Yeah.
The Mel Gibson's character, who's, the way he learns to not kill people, right?
Yeah.
Is Gary Busey's character tries to kill Danny Glover's character's family in their house. And Lethal Weapon, by the way, is a Christmas movie. Just like Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Is it? Huh.
Mm. Yeah.
All these Christmas movies about killing people.
About killing people.
You gotta learn.
So he crashes a car through the, or they crash a police cruiser through the side of a house.
Yeah.
And Mel Gibson's character, because the fire hydrant is kicking up a bunch of water that got run over by this car on the lawn, it's just this big mud pit. Mm-hmm. And so other officers pull up, and Mel Gibson and Gary Busey's characters decide to settle their scores by having a fist fight on mud the wrestling? Lawn.
So they're mud wrestling.
It's not mud wrestling so much as just beating the shit out of each other.
Okay.
It's pretty brutal. Other officers show up, and Danny Glover's character tells them to stand down rather than arresting this guy.
Why?
Because Riggs has got it, right? And Riggs is
and does he clearly not got it?
No, he does. He does have it. My problem with it is, they're both police officers, and because Danny Glover's character, like, they someone in the helicopter overlooking this thing,
yeah,
says Murtaugh, Danny Glover's character, is a ranking officer on scene, and they establish that he tells them to stand down and just let Riggs get it, right? I do not think that these police would just be standing around watching two grown men beat the living shit out of each other on a lawn.
Because he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it if he's still fighting him. Like, having it would be like, oh, he's got him in handcuffs. He's got it.
No, but he's got a nightstick, and they are beating each other in the face and getting each other in leg holds and...
You don't have it.
It is a brutal fight scene.
Yeah,
I mean and that's mainly my main problem with it now as an adult and someone who kind of likes to look at story and what makes certain scenes work for the medium that they're in. It's still an enjoyable movie. If you've never seen Lethal Weapon, what is wrong with you? Go out and watch it. I want to say it's over 30 years old at this point, which is kind of weird.
Well, like I said, I don't think I've seen it, so...
It's very good. The second one involves... the second one is the first one that introduces Joe Pesci's character.
Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci's in it. He is a informant for... the police in prosecuting a mob guy. He's an accountant.
Ah,
and he helped them
always
launder
the accountants,
money.
Yeah.
He helped them launder money, you know, all but the... he worms his way into their life because Gibson and Glover have to kind of like be his bodyguards basically, and keep him safe
so he can talk on the stand.
Yeah. Now, the second one came out during the height of the, like, South African apartheid stuff going on. And so the South Africans are bad guys in the movie.
Jeez. There's
a scene where Mel Gibson's character is breaking into the South African embassy, which, again, police can't do.
Yeah. I mean, they can do it, but it's illegal.
It's illegal. It's an act of war, I'm pretty sure. But he's sneaking into the embassy to find out more information about what they're doing. And the South African ambassador hides behind diplomatic immunity, but he breaks law. Like, they're smuggling in, like, Krugerrands and heroin and shit, like, into the country. Like, you can't do that and then claim. That's not how diplomatic immunity works.
You know, with a lot of these movies, the law is very bendy.
But it's hilarious that the way that they create a distraction is there are these people picketing the South African embassy.
Yeah.
Right? And Joe Pesci comes in to meet with a immigration specialist at the embassy who's for South Africa.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I got this friend. He wants to immigrate to South Africa. And you need to tell him no.
Yeah.
You can't do it. And he's like, why would I do that? He's like, no, look, you just need to tell him no. It's not a good idea. Do not let him immigrate. And he's like, okay, sure. Why would I not tell your friend to immigrate? And Danny Glover walks in.
Yeah.
And he starts talking about wanting to immigrate to South Africa. And the guy who's trying to help him is like, but you're black.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to...
Why would you...
The scene is much funnier than my just... The horrible description of it.
Yeah, no.
But it's... It's a fun movie. It's dumb. Like, you just kind of have to turn your brain off to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a good way to waste a rainy Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. And did your wife watch it with you, or...?
Yeah, she watched it with me.
Nice.
We were both, like, laughing at the ridiculousness of some things and being like, that's not how...
That's not how things work. Yeah.
Like, what are you...
Good. Yeah.
What is your message? That police can just break the law?
They can do whatever they want. Yeah. Yeah. It's a movie that I've not seen that I definitely do need to go and check out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess third and last game that I picked up was an anime as fuck game. It was Valkyrie Chronicles, which is, you know, very stylized anime.
Is it one of those, like,
I guess it's
sci-fi
not.
Fantasy JRPGs? Like,
no.
Like Tales of Berseria?
No, yeah. It's nothing of
Star
that.
Star Ocean, nothing like that?
So, it's like, supposed to take place in a different, I guess, world, but it's, they're in a war. A group of people are in a war of another group of people. It's like World War II or World War I.
So, like, kind of like just an alternate, like, Sky Captain and World of Tomorrow type one?
Kind of, yeah, okay. Yeah. So
Diesel Punk, I think.
Yeah, like, they have, you use tanks that run off of, like, these giant batteries.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's really cool. So I guess it's not as anime as fuck. It's actually, the style is very anime with, you know, big eyes, crazy hair, stuff like that. But the gameplay is actually really cool. So you get different units, and you actually move these units on a particular, like, board. But the board's 3D, so it's got, like, houses and stuff like that. It's like a grid.
So is it turn-based? Kind of like Fire Emblem?
It's turn-based, yeah.
Okay.
So you move your character, and your character has a movement range. So it has, like, a circle of how far you can go if you want to climb up any, like, roofs and stuff like that.
Cool.
And then, when you make an attack, it goes into a first-person view where you actually have to aim and shoot somebody.
Hmm.
So, your accuracy is basically how well you can move your mouse and, like, do a headshot or something like that. Like, I've got a couple of snipers who I'll usually move up in, like, sniper nest and stuff like that. But I'm the one who's actually, like, controlling the shots.
Oh, okay.
So that's really cool. I thought that was really interesting. A lot of it is just, like, story. We're going to go into the skirmish. The skirmish is, like, in the middle of a city. So you have, like, a bunch of roads and houses that you can move your characters in. Because you have, like, riflemen. You have these giant, like, lancers that shoot basically missiles into tanks. You have your tank. You have your snipers. Okay. You have, like, your heavy machine gun folks.
Hmm.
So, it's really interesting. And it's a lot like Fire Emblem, where if your character dies...
Oh, it's permadeath.
It's permadeath. Yeah.
Nice.
So...
Can the game ever, like, functionally have game over and you have to restart the entire thing?
I don't know. Maybe. You have a lot of... You have a lot of just, like, random dudes. So your main characters. You do have your main characters of, like, oh, you have this person, and if this main character dies, you get a game over and you have to redo this, the mission.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of, like, these are your main characters, don't let them die.
Yeah.
But then you have your, like, random dudes where you can, like, name them and stuff like that. And if they die, well... They were just random dude number one, so yeah. See you later, random dude number one.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because there is, I think it was the same company who also did Skies of Arcadia, which is a great game. It's an old game that was on the Dreamcast.
I never had a Dreamcast. Yeah. That's why if we had cameras, you would have seen me look quizzically at Stuart.
So Skies of Arcadia is this great game. It's an RPG. I love the game. I still have my original Dreamcast and my original Skies of Arcadia.
Did you get it as a bundle or something?
No, no.
Oh, you just have the original boxes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
No, gotcha. No, not the box. I have an actual Dreamcast, but I still have, like, the case that Skies of Arcadia came
gotcha.
In. Where you're basically like a sky pirate, and you have a ship that flies around, and it's an RPG game where you're just trying to figure things out and stuff like that. Well,
gotcha.
There's like these bonus characters where they're the three main characters from Skies of Arcadia that pop up in this game, where you can like recruit them and have them in your party, which is super cool. But I think it's a really cool game. It's very interesting. In the turn base, because you're moving characters around on a board, but then when you actually have to, you know, execute a action or an attack, you're the one aiming.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're the one who, you know, can, like, if I miss a headshot, I miss that headshot. It wasn't like the guy missed the headshot. No, my mouse was, you know, either I was too far away where I could accurately try to determine where that guy's head was, or maybe I should have gone for a body shot, which would have been a little bit more, you know, lenient on if it hit or not. So, yeah, that was a great game that I also enjoyed playing. So, I haven't beat it. I can't recommend it, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Cool.
Yeah. A lot of customization. You can, you know... change around your equipment and stuff with your units. You have, like, a barracks that you can put your dudes in and, like, just do all sorts of leveling up and stuff like that. So it does have those RPG elements to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you do anything else?
Other than that, I ran the Peachtree Road Race here in Atlanta. It is a 10K, 6.2 miles.
Jeez.
Yeah. In the Atlanta heat, oh god, it was hot. But I believe this was my sixth year in a row running it,
nice.
Which is always super fun. It's not a race really to get a good time. It's more of just an enjoyable race. You're out there on the 4th of July. It's a 4th of July race when you're seeing all these people in like 4th of July costumes and stuff. You're running past a bunch of buildings. I got like a free Krispy Kreme donut. People hand out stuff
yeah.
like beers, donuts, little knickknacks here and there. We also run by a hospital. A lot of people will bring like patients out, and it's really good to see those people there, and you know, give them high fives and
cool.
Yeah, it's. It's
now,
a
you
lot
said it's
of
your
fun.
Sixth year, but I notice you're wearing a 2011 Peachtree Road Race. Is it not your eighth year?
It's my eighth year,
ah.
then. Ah, shoot, man. I'm glad that you looked at that.
Yeah.
I guess no, it's my seventh year, because
okay.
it's 2008. 18. Yeah, it's 2018, and this is 2011. No. Oh, it is my 8 year. Yeah, it would be the 8 year. Math. Math. Yeah, no. Oh, crap, man. Time. Jeez.
I hate time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's my 8th year in a row running it. God, that makes me feel old. Anyway. So, it's been a lot of fun. It's always fun to run with friends.
Is your entry fee a like a charity donation?
No. It goes towards the Atlanta Track Club. Okay. So, it helps them with, like, other races and stuff like that. But I don't think they donate that to anything. But the Atlanta Track Club's really fun. I've been a member with that club for a couple of years.
Okay.
They allow you to get into, like, free 5Ks and stuff like that. So, and at the end of the Peachtree, you can go to one of the bars and get, like, a free beer after you run.
Nice.
So, I've noticed this year, it's been a lot more, there were a lot more people than what I previously remembered. So, I live in town, and we have a transit system called MARTA. MARTA's not the best. I'm glad that we have it, since we're a metro city, but... Yeah.
The state really should help fund it, rather than making it self-sufficient. Which,
and it could be a lot better. But don't get me wrong, I'm not downing on it. I'm glad that we have, you know, this train system that will get us to places. But I usually take that because you don't want to drive up there then run all the way, because the start line isn't near the finish line. They're about 6.2 miles. Yeah. So I live near where the finish is, near Piedmont Park. So I decided just to take the train.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on the particular line, and I see the train, and it's just packed to the gills with people.
As you'd expect.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'll just wait for the next train. Next train rolls up. Packed to the gills. I'm like, ah, crap, I'm not going to be able to get there. So I look at the trains, and I see that there's another line on the red line that goes to Buckhead. And I'm thinking, oh, Buckhead's near Lenox. Sounds good enough.
Yeah.
So I get onto the Buckhead line. No, not that many people there. There were some racers. You can see them because they had their bibs on, their numbers. And I was like, all right, I'll go to Buckhead. So I get the Buckhead. I get off the station. Man, it was definitely a walk or slash run to the start line. So I feel like I probably ran a good additional, like, mile or two before actually running the Peachtree Road Race. So so that's what I'm using for my excuse to not get that great of a time. But again, it's always really fun. I'm super glad to see everybody come out cheering everybody on. People who do the giveaways or who are out there handing out free stuff. Even just seeing the kids, like, high-fiving you as you run by.
Yeah.
It really means a lot to me, and it's become, like, a tradition for 4th of July.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's everything that I did this week.
Well, yeah, I have one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of been tootling around with it, because we got it when it first came out. I like the games. My wife really loves the Sims games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we got Sims 4 for PS4
nice.
When it came out last year.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So I'm going to do plus minuses here.
Okay.
Okay. The minus is there's no open world. Sims 3 had kind of an open world.
Where you could, like, go to a park or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, go out for the night.
Yeah. This, the neighborhoods are kind of separate areas, and you have to pick which world you want to.
That seems like they are going back to the old Sims.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's a big step back, and I think it's a way for EA to cheap out.
Nah.
You can multitask, though. So you can set up a series of actions for your Sims to do, mm-hmm. and they'll do them in that order.
Okay.
Which is a welcome change.
Yeah. Was it not like that?
You kind of had to... You had a timer you could keep an eye on to see when they were done. You could load up another...
But you couldn't, like, queue it up?
Yeah, you couldn't queue it up.
Huh, yeah. Okay.
That
seems like a really good life improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other minus would be there's such a high number of DLC because it's EA.
Yeah, and you have to pay for all of it.
My wife really wants to get the... although some of the DLC was available for the console release. Like, when we got it, we also bought the expansion that lets you make a vampire.
Oh.
There's one coming out where you can make... aliens.
So they just they give no more fucks. They're just like,
yeah, well,
just,
they never really did. I mean,
I remember a story of like somebody trying to marry death or something like that, that you can like,
I've got a funny story about that in a second. The newest DLC that's coming out, I think, involves pets, so you can like make your pets and stuff. I'm sure that she'll download that.
Yeah.
So we can have, like, a puppy parade.
There you go.
Just
have... You can make the cat lady, the single cat lady.
Exactly.
With, like, 20 cats.
So one of the things that's interesting about it is that they have whims and traits for your characters. Hmm. So, like, they're better at certain things, and if you leave them idle for a while, they'll just start to do things. Like, if they're, like, a neat freak, they'll just... If they're idle, cleaning. They'll just start cleaning because, which is interesting and adds another depth of personality. Let me give you this timeline. So the PC release was 2014.
Okay. Wow.
The Mac release was 2015.
Really? For this Sims.
Yeah, for Sims 4.
Okay.
Yeah, this...
For a
this
second, game. I was thinking, like, the original Sims. I was like...
Mm. No. For Sims 4.
Yeah. Which
PC
is...
PC was...
The most current Sims.
Yeah, it's the most current Sims.
Okay.
PC is 2014. Mac is 2015. PS4 and Xbox One, 2017.
Okay.
Like I said, I think it was November of last year.
Okay.
It is inexcusable to me, because we got it the day it came out. It's inexcusable to me for a game that has been made for 3 years to release on a console and be as buggy as it was.
Yeah.
There was a... The day that we got it, my wife was extremely frustrated, as was I, because she spent 3 or 4 hours playing this game, and the save function fucked up.
Yeah, that save function.
Because the save function, you go into your cell phone, and you make a record of your game.
Yeah.
And you couldn't select it on your cell phone.
Yep, that seems pretty bad.
Inexcusable. Fuck EA.
Especially if it's like a Sims game where that's all you're doing is saving and progressing, saving and progressing.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, gosh. EA doesn't have a really good track record.
No, they're terrible.
Did you see any sort of like...
Oh, yeah, on the FAQ. Yeah, yeah, I went on the FAQ on their website and I created an account and I got like... 10,000 upvotes on my comment where I was like, hey, EA support, the save feature on your console doesn't work.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What did they say?
They moved it to another related issue with console bugginess.
So how long did it take them to fix that?
3 days.
3 days? Yeah. Oh, wow. So it's like, here's your game. But you can't play it yet.
But you can't save it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Which, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
But
you're still giving EA money.
Well, so it's gotten better now. Like, it's not anywhere nearly this buggy. My biggest gripe with it, though, is that was a console release for a game that was out for 3 years.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable for it to be buggy on launch.
It's hard to port games. It really is hard to port them. But
they had 3 years to work on
it. And their, I guess the testing team probably should have caught that.
Yeah, the QA team should have caught, you can't save this fucking game.
But maybe it is different, or I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the instance is. But I will say, it's got some bizarre trophies in it. regarding death.
Yeah.
So, here's the story of how Zack is an unkind and petty god to fake people.
Yeah, I mean...
So, I made this character... Oh, and that one of the other bugs is that that was more like a week or so after it came out was that the thing that you wanted to do was not the thing highlighted on the choices that they would give you.
Yeah, so it was difficult.
So it was difficult to figure
it out.
So I wanted my guy to be an entertainer.
Yeah,
and so I was progressing along the career track for that.
Yeah, was he a podcaster?
And it is. No, no. So this is like a musician or comedian, right?
Yeah.
So I had been working on his piano skills so that he could do songwriting and his guitar skills.
Yeah.
So he could multi-instrumentalist type thing.
Yeah.
The highlight function became a problem because I thought that I had selected musician because the entertainer forks. So you can be a musician or you can be a stand-up comic.
Oh, okay. Those are the only two.
Yeah.
Only two entertainers.
Only two entertainers. And so I became a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, shit, now I have to buy a computer so I can write jokes. Because that's how you progress as a comic.
Yeah.
So my wife is much more laissez-faire about the control she has over her character. She kind of likes to build a household of people. Because that is a plus in this game, is you can create a household of, like, four roommates.
Yeah, and right? You can control all four of them, right?
Yeah, but you can, like, switch around. And
yeah.
So,
and let them
she
do
has households. That's much too confusing for me.
You just have one dude.
I just have one dude, and she's just like, you're making him miserable. Because he doesn't have any friends, and I was just like, nah, I gotta bump up my writing skills. So I gotta write
these jokes.
And I just had him do it for, like, until he would piss himself, and then I would make him clean it up and go to bed.
Man, that guy was probably the most horrible stand-up comedian.
Because I wanted him to be successful before he died. We had vampires.
No.
So
I hate it when I have the case of the vampires.
So I was talking to this lady, who a neighbor. My wife was like, well, you should have them...
hook up?
No, well, not hook up, but like, you should have him socialize, because, like, talking with people is necessary to maintain a certain level of happiness.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, so I just clicked on this random person walking by, we're talking, and I queue up a bunch of conversational things,
yeah.
just to kind of boost friendship.
Yeah.
And the sun rises, and then she catches fire, and I was like, what? And so, because, like, my guy wasn't letting her leave,
yeah.
And so death comes and, like, dusts her up, and I click on death, and I was like, I can have a conversation with death,
hey, death.
And so I start talking with him. Well, then he comes into my contacts, and so death is one of my best friends, because whenever I jump onto the video game system for my dude,
yeah.
I'll be like, play a multiplayer game, play online kart racing with Death and like two other people that I know.
Yeah.
And so Death is like my best bud right now.
Did he tell you when you were going to die?
No, I don't even know if that's an option. Okay.
Well, that was one really friendly vampire just to keep on talking to you even though it killed her?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I was that vampire, I'd be like, excuse me.
Bye.
Yeah,
turn
into a bat and fly away.
Well, and this is in the early days of it, so that may be a bug that was fixed.
Eh,
maybe
not.
So, my dude turned into an elder, because I wasn't really paying attention to an old person.
Does he still tell jokes?
Yeah, he still tells jokes. Good. What I did is I got in with a hot young vampire.
Yeah.
And married her, and she turned me into a vampire. I don't age anymore.
Yeah, but you're stuck.
Stuff.
But you're stuck in the old age.
Yeah, it doesn't matter though. He's not elderly. He's like middle age.
You called him elderly.
Well, yeah, like in the thing on the sliding scroll thing that they have, it says elder. But he's not elderly. He's not an old person.
Nah. Well, I was going to be bitten by a vampire and like maintain my age. Right now would be awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't have that option. I didn't realize he turned into an elder so quickly.
Yeah. Time flies, man.
Yeah, time flies when you're writing jokes on a computer.
And pissing yourself.
And pissing yourself.
Playing games of death.
So he is richer than God right now. Like, I have like 150,000.
Hang on. God has money?
Yeah, what, you know, the phrase. No. That's a phrase.
I didn't know if I God have, was like no, actually no, no, no. in The Sims, so, where he's like, hey.
So I have,
mean, you're talking and playing games with death. Why not?
I have an unrealistic amount of money for what he does, because in his sideline, because his writing is so high, I can crank out a book and it just generates revenue without doing anything. And so I don't even have to like go out to like drain people. Like, I basically have this tree that grows plasma fruit that I can just go out in my backyard and pick fruit, or I can get on the computer and I can order blood packs, order plasma packs.
There you go.
They're expensive, but it's like, I don't care. I have a,
I'm rich, bitch.
The other thing is you don't have to like sleep or use a bathroom or anything like that. So,
oh, really?
Like, my house.
You don't have to use the bathroom as a vampire.
No. Oh, no, you don't have to eat.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to eat. Because you just click on the plasma pack in your inventory, and your hunger thing is saved. Because the vampire, when you turn into a vampire, your stats change.
Okay.
And with the... It's kind of funny when I woohoo with the wife.
Yeah.
They go to the coffin, and, like, sometimes, if it's really awesome, the coffin will, like, loud up in the air and just there be like, which is kind of funny. It's a funny animation.
Yeah.
I
mean, Sims always had really funny animations for the sex.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know. So my wife was playing, and she was barely scraping enough by because she was kind of letting them seeing what they do with their lives. Right.
Yeah.
And so she was like struggling to like pay the bills and she was just like, how do you have so much money? And I was like, because I'm a hateful god to this, this fake person.
This fake dude.
I just push him to do nothing but make money.
Yeah.
And yeah, it really changes the gameplay.
Yeah,
You're just doing nothing to make money. Because like my dude has a basement now. I've got all the top of the line gear.
Nice.
He doesn't really have a whole lot of friends, though. Because all his friends were human except for his wife, who is also a vampire, and Death. So I've got, like, two friends left alive. Hey, Everyone else is dead.
As long as you're still good with Death, I think you're making it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the last thing that I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up the week.
Yeah.
So, again, if you want to reach out to us, you can always find us at backrowsupershow
at gmail.com. Friend us on Facebook, backrowsupershow, 4 separate words. Yeah, like us on Facebook, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Google has not yet responded.
Who knows? Maybe they will.
Maybe they will. but, yeah. We'll see you guys next time, I think.
Yep. See you next time. Same crazy channel, same crazy place.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.